You know, I don't know if you've been watching the Paralympics, but you know, I learned some lessons from there. It's very heart-touching because you have to work together as a team. We were watching the skiing, and of course, on the cross-country skiing, when they're going downhill, they have a guide all the time. And the guide holds the ski pole, so he helps the guy down. On the, I don't know how they do this on the Grand Slam and that, because they go up to 70 miles an hour. And some of these people have 2% vision. They have to listen. Their guide has a motorcycle type, you know, they have the motorcycle type speakers and stuff, and they communicate that way. But to go around all that is just totally amazing, totally amazing. And then I watched our Canadian curling, and, you know, when they go to push that rock, there's no sweepers, you know. You have to be accurate at what you're doing. And but the person behind holds the wheels. You know, you got to work as a team. And you know, that's a great lesson for all of us, is we got to work as a team. And as Rebecca said today, be content. I'm talking about the big picture today because there's many ways of looking at it. I was talking about a couple of weeks ago, the vision continues, and then Pastor Shannon is talking about our vision statement and the vision and how it goes. I was going to dedicate a song to Jamie this morning, but I thought, okay, we got all this happening. It's not going to happen. And then I thought, the song I was going to dedicate to her, probably half the people don't even know about anyways. And does anybody know Hootie and the Blowfish? A few of you do. All right. And Darius Rucker? Yeah, okay. The song I wanted to dedicate to her for her birthday was I Only Want to Be With You. But here's one of the funny things. We have tickets we never used because Hootie was supposed to be in Red Deer a few years ago. And then I don't know if that's when he got saved or what, but he decided to become a minister. And he's done a number of different things since then. So he canceled the concerts with that and went on his own solo. So we got tickets that we never used. If you want them, we'll sell them to you. Anyways, in light of viewing the big picture, I want to remind you this morning of your value in Christ. And as Rebecca already said, that the idea of being content is good. There are so many ways of looking at the big picture. So I'm going to do a real weird example this morning. But, you know, God knows the beginning from the end. And I was sharing that as a vision continues, because sometimes we look back and we see God's hand in our life way back here. And it gets fulfilled way up here. You know, I lived on... it's called 7406 82nd Avenue, which was Highway 14, going out of Edmonton. And Highway 14, well, 75th Street. Many of you have been on 75th Street. When I was a kid, that was a gravel road. And then there was just a two-lane Highway 14 coming out of, going east. And went by our place. We were on the north side, and there was a little bit of a gravel side road, but there was no curbs or nothing like that. And my mom had a little sub post office in her house. But here, being on the edge of town, of course, people dropped off their cats. So they dropped off our cats. So I always had cats in my life. And but being on a highway, they all always got run over as well. So here's my thought. God called me to be a minister, knew that I was going to have to know how to conduct funerals. So somebody would come into the post office to my mom's and say, Mrs. Casson, there's a dead cat out there on the road. And so she would send me out with a brown paper bag. We didn't have plastic in those days. We didn't wear gloves or not, just put the cat in there. And so I had to have a funeral. So it's like, okay, if you're going to bury that cat, don't bury it in the garden. You have to bury it between the garden and the fence. And I was, I think, grade six before we had running water. So she said, probably bury it close to the outhouse. It's like most of you guys know what that's all about. So I'd go back there, dig a hole, and have my funeral service and bury the cat. And that's how I got my first start in learning how to conduct a funeral, you know. So, but the one cool thing about that, having cats around all the time, is my brother and I shared a double bed. And, of course, we had no furnace or nothing. We just had heaters in our house. And as the frost moved up the window, the cool thing about the cat wanted to keep warm, too, so they went to the bottom of the bed. And they kept our feet warm. But there's something therapeutic about that, because you could feel them purr, you know. It's just like Shannon bringing her dogs to work, both when Darby was around and Aslan now. People have come and they found that very therapeutic just to hold that dog. And God's nature is awesome, you know. And so, but here's the other thing. Sherry, Jamie's sister, always was bringing cats home. And the only thing with that is none of the cats ever liked Jamie. None of them, yeah. And so here's the deal, though. When I got to know Jamie, and of course I was always heading down to Alabama to see the family, especially once they got married, and once Sarah and Scott got married and started having children, you got to get down there, and one day we'll get down there again. So I'd get Jamie to look after the house, and she would sit where she still sits today in front of the front room window, and that's her place of peace. But Stumpy, our cat who lived for 22 years, would climb up into her lap, and they would just enjoy peace together, the first cat. So, you know, God knows every little detail, you know. And so this morning, I just want you to know that no matter what your place is in the body of Christ, it's all valued. You are valued. And I want to say thanks to our home group, care group, church group, whatever you want to call it, for giving such a wonderful birthday party for Jamie. And thank you, Linda, for those chocolate peanut butter cupcakes. My Lord, nobody was going to lay a hand on mine, I'll tell you, or hers. And but to make something special, because she's had to spend so many years never being able to celebrate her birthday. So we make it a little extra special. And we had a little special time Thursday and Friday. We took some time away. But we thank you for that. When we look at the big picture, we realize that as we hear from God, you know, all of us hear from God in a different way, or some are similar. But as we hear from God, we also contribute to the big picture in our own way. Everyone is an important member of the body of Christ. And I just want you to take that really simple today. I want you to take that from here. Never devalue who you are. You know, everyone is original, so there's no need to be a copy. Everyone's original. You know, I look at it like a big jigsaw puzzle. Every piece is important. If any piece is missing, the puzzle is incomplete. It looks ugly. It's got a piece missing. You know, even if that piece is just, like, there's some real dynamic pieces in a jigsaw puzzle, but sometimes you just have a clear blue sky. So boring, you know. But if that piece isn't in that puzzle when it's over, it's still incomplete. And sometimes I feel Christians are that way. There are some Christians that feel, well, I don't really stand out. I'm not in everybody's face. I'm not pizzazz. I'm not really out there. I'm not an outgoing person. And so I really don't matter. Yeah, you matter. Because when you're not there, the puzzle isn't complete. The body of Christ needs you. And so we're part of the big picture. And the body of Christ is not as functional without you. It's functional with you. So that's why we want to focus that everybody is important. You know, every now and then through the last 44 years of ministry, we've been involved in church things. And what happens so often is people get focused on a person. be it the pastor or a couple of people or certain people. And then when those people leave, they don't know what to do because their focus is gone. But when we focus as a body together, just like you look after your own body as many pieces together, then we can be functional. Now, so that's why I say, like, and as Dawn was saying that, you know, Jamie, that took her a lot of nerve to get up here and say anything. So I wanted her to get up again and thank everybody. But she said, no, I didn't realize that everybody's looking at you when you're up there. And it's like, you know, that's okay. That's okay. You know, not all of us can stand up here and do this. Doesn't matter. Where you are, what you do, your part in the body of Christ is just equally important. And sometimes we need to have the upfront people and we need to have the quiet people. Oh, you know, boldness doesn't necessarily mean loudness. You can be bold in the spirit without being loud. We like loud people. We like quiet people. And nobody needs to devalue where they're at. You know, last week they talked about to Timothy, who might have been a little bit more timid. Come on, let's stir up the gift that was within you. You got to get going again, boy. Paul, who was up front and in everybody's face, they had to send him away for a while. I don't know if he changed any, but they sent him away till the nurturer Barnabas comes and goes and finds Paul and brings him back. You know, so there's room for everyone. So never, whatever you are, however you are functioning, whatever God has placed you, whatever gifts he's given you, continue to function in that. He often tells us to step out of our comfort zone. And that's okay. He'll give us the grace to do that. But never devalue the fact that you're not like someone else. Because you're not like someone else. You're who you are. And that's very, very important. And as we move ahead, let's continue to pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth other laborers to the harvest field. Because he knows what we need. He's done this before. He'll do it again. Amen. So we want to make sure that Crystal has at least 5 minutes this morning, so I'll get going here. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Amen. If you're not a out loud, like if you like to pray out loud, fine. But if you're not, don't devalue yourself. Do what Jesus said. That's what Jamie does. Yeah. And she can pray. I'll tell you, she can pray. But yeah, that's fine, because pray to your Father in secret, and he will reward you openly. Amen. Don't devalue it, folks, especially if you're a quieter type that don't like to be in front of people with everybody looking at you. That's okay. But if you are someone that loves to be in the front, praise the Lord. Stick with that. You know, we need everybody. We need everybody, all sorts of people in regards to that. So then the other scripture that I want to share with you, it's actually from Paul, which is a little bit surprising. When he's talking about tongues, he says in 1 Corinthians 14:19, but in church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. You know, I was brought up in a Pentecostal church where everybody was, it's like there was kind of chaos because everybody's praying and speaking in tongues. If you've got a word of, if you've got, a, you know, a prophecy or tongues interpretation, that's fine. But even Paul, a guy that first of all, he says, I'm thankful that I speak in tongues more than y'all. If you're the kind of person that says, I would rather speak in English so everybody can hear me, that's okay. It's perfectly okay. Can I get a yahoo or an amen or something on that? Yeah. All right. Because, you know, it takes all kinds of us. And if you want to speak in tongues, you speak in tongues. But and don't devalue yourself or feel ashamed. The other end holds true as well. It is so dry. Sorry, folks. Hey, I found a senior's cup. The Uncola. Remember when the Uncola was around? So 7-Up brought these back upside-down cups. They don't tip as easy. So I'm going to advertise them as senior cups and sell them for $20 each or something. I don't know. Sorry. All right. We want to edify one another, and we want to glorify God. In the end, we want to bear fruit. I'll throw another one in here. Colossians 1, 3-6, we always thank God, and the capital letters, of course, I did that. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. What a beautiful compliment was to this church at Colossae. The love you have for all of God's people. The faith and love that spring forth from the hopes stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. Isn't that awesome? Glorifying God, loving all, and there's fruit bearing, no matter who you've touched. Just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. God's grace, God's ability in you to do what you cannot do for yourself, and it's given in an unmerited favor. In other words, we did nothing to earn it. We just believed and received. When Jesus prepared to leave his disciples and ascend to the right hand of the Father, he gave his followers a plan that was much more than details. It was a big picture. In Matthew chapter 28, and we'll do this and kind of close with this because time is gone. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus didn't tell them to build buildings they would meet in one day. He didn't insist that they use one particular kind of music or certain musical instruments. He didn't spell out for them if they were to use the King James Version of the Bible or the NIV. Jesus didn't insist that they use individual communion cups instead of one communion cup. There's a lot of details that he could have instructed them on while he was visiting with them for the last time on earth. But instead, he planted within their hearts the big picture of all the nations of the world becoming disciples. The big picture is crucial if we're going to try to make our mark on this planet in the kingdom of God. There are many ways to accomplish this very simple vision statement that he gave them and command. How that looks is kind of the way we feel we're trusting God to lead us. And we saw that happen many different ways in Acts and then in the other epistles that we have. And again, I just close with what I start with. Your contribution is valuable. Let us continue to pray to the Lord to send forth the harvesters. Do you want to bring the box? Amen. May God bless you and as we trust the Lord each day for his leading and guiding. Amen. So next week, we will have communion, as Shannon mentioned it. Ted and Bev Van Diepen will be here. And as you may recall, Ted and there's nothing there. Okay. Ted and Bev Van Diepen are the founders of Doxson Ministries, and they are licensed by this church. And also, they also went down to Impact International in Huntsville, Alabama, where our own children went and got their Bible college. And I believe that Bev works as a registered nurse in emergency, isn't that right? Something like that. Maternity? Okay, anyways. Is it? That's an emergency. Yeah, maternity is an emergency, isn't it? Yeah. Amen. Well, we've appreciated them through the years. And, of course, we worked with them through the DOCS conferences every year. And, of course, we haven't been able to have that. And so we pray also for them that God will lead them in whatever God has in store for them and for DOCS Canada. Amen. Let's stand together and we'll dismiss you in prayer. Again, feel free to have a cup of coffee. I don't know how much that'll last, but there is coffee back there, tea, hot water, and feel free to fellowship and then come back. And yeah, we'll be getting ready for, we had our first food bank here last Monday morning. Wasn't a lot of people here, but we had a great time, and looking forward to that again tomorrow. As people, basically right now, the ones that walk by are the ones that, oh, the sign is out finally. Let's go. And so as more find out about it, I know a number of clients from Neighbor Aid are from this part of town, and we want to do what we can for them. Like I say, Jesus was always around food. And I think the ladies are being really smart by starting their ladies' thing off with lunch. That way, all the ladies will be here on time. Amen. And, yeah, let's pray. Father, we thank you again this morning for your blessing upon us. We thank you for the privilege of being able to meet in open and public. And again, we pray for our dear friends in the Ukraine who are scrambling for their lives. We pray your peace, as Betty said, and we pray for freedom and a resolve, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're with each one here, with each family. Pray for each person on the job site, whatever it holds for us this week. And your blessing upon Crystal as she shares, in Jesus' name, amen.